I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't. I've come and gone. And ooh, I love to sweep round the white step. Cut a little swath and leave the people on.
According to the National Institutes of Health, genetic testing is available for more than 2,000 rare and common diseases. In addition to the explosion of genetic tests generally, ads for DNA testing to determine your ethnic origins bombard TV viewers day and night. All this hype about DNA testing sets up the perfect climate for con artists. So how do the new genetic scams rip off older Americans and the Medicare program which serves them? I spoke with Reginald France, Assistant Special Agent in the Office of Inspector General at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, to find out more. Welcome, Agent France. Why don't we begin by having you walk us through the basics of the genetic testing scam aimed at older Americans? What is the scam? How does it work? Who are the perpetrators and who are the victims?
What's supposed to happen is Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries are supposed to see their treating physician. A treating physician can be their primary care physician, it could be a specialist, and during that visit, that primary care physician or specialist would say, I see an anomaly, and as a result of this anomaly, I want to do additional testing. One of those testings would be genetic testing. That would allow the treating physician to make a determination on the course of action that he or she would take. So you move forward to the primary care physician, or the specialist would then do the genetic testing. They would send out that testing to a lab. The lab would then send the results back to the primary care physician, and that primary care physician would discuss the results of that testing. That's how it's supposed to work.
Okay.
And there's a key word that we use in that scenario. It's primary, is treating physician. So in the scam, what happens is you have marketers, you have laboratories, you have medical providers that are all working together to steal money from the federal government. And this is how they do it. The marketer and or medical provider looks for patients. They look for patients through social networking. They look for patients at senior centers. They look for patients at church events, health fairs, and they offer them money to do genetic testing. Then, as a result, the Medicare or Medicaid beneficiary would do the testing. They would swab their mouth. They would fill out some history, whether true or untrue, send it out to a lab that is also in cahoots, and the lab would ultimately bill Medicare and Medicaid for thousands of dollars. The lab would then share those profits with that marketer and or medical provider that's working together with them to commit the fraud.
Now, you mentioned that the con artist sometimes even offer pay seniors to take these tests, and that they're really after sort of guinea pigs in a scam on the federal government. Do they also want to get the seniors' Medicare number and probably do some identity theft scams as well? Or is it mostly just to get the federal government to cough up some money for a fraudulent scam?
So what we've seen so far is in the genetic testing scam, they're doing it solely to bill for Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay.
The data shows today that genetic testing is billing in the billions of dollars. Now, all of that is not fraud, but we're seeing that a growing amount is fraud. OIG is seeing testing performed for these diseases that patients wouldn't possibly have, wrong ethnicity, wrong gender, blatant birth defects that wouldn't first appear in a Medicare older patient. So this is solely to bill per patient as many patients as they can find.
What do they tell these seniors, by the way? Do they say you might get cancer, you might be predisposed to have some other kind of problem? How do they, in addition to paying them money to do the genetic testing scam, how do they entice them to do this?
We've seen several things. We've seen them offer Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries gift cards. We've seen them offer them meals. We've even seen them do scare tactics to say, hey, you're going to be vulnerable to a heart attack, stroke, cancer if you don't participate. And that's scary. So these beneficiaries feel that like they have to do this.
So it's like a carrot and a stick. One, we would give you some sort of benefit, a gift card, money, and a stick, which is scaring them into thinking, wow, they may have some sort of serious disease.
Absolutely. You've piqued the person's interest. People want to know if they're sick. So I'm going to give you something, and I'm going to scare you into feeling that you have to do it. Between the two of those, it's right for people saying, yes, I'll do this swab, and I'll get this genetic testing.
The U.S. Department of Justice is cracking down on this kind of genetic testing, the fraudulent kind. And I know you don't speak for the Justice Department. You're with the Office of Inspector General for the Health and Human Services. But a couple of recent cases with convictions in New Jersey and Virginia illustrate just how the genetic scams work. Could you outline the basics of these cases for our listeners?
Yes. So in the District of New Jersey, we work very closely with the U.S. Attorney's Office, with Maine Justice, Department of Justice. In the case that was prosecuted in May of this year, in July of this year, a Virginia man was sentenced to 19 months, a New Jersey man was sentenced to 50 months, and what they were doing is they were using a nonprofit to convince senior citizens to get this genetic testing.
Was the nonprofit in collusion? I believe that group was called Good Samaritans, right? Were they in collusion,
yes,
or were they unwitting?
They were part. They were owned by these individuals.
I see.
They were in collusion, yes. So they used the nonprofit to convince senior citizens to submit the genetic testing. There was over a $500,000 loss to the government. They didn't even see a medical provider. They didn't see a doctor. They saw a doctor via telephone, or the doctor just filled out the script, signed off on the script. They used Craigslist to recruit these providers, these doctors, to sign off on these scripts in order to get the genetic testing. They also were doing a kickback scheme with the laboratory, and they received $100,000 in commissions as a result of sending the genetic testing to the laboratories.
How much money is the federal government losing, or do you know?
We don't know how much we're losing. We just know it's a growing field. Look, genetic testing, we see it every day on TV. It's a growing field, and with a growing field, you see a growing amount of billing. We are seeing a spike in billing at this time. We just couldn't tell you what portion of that spike is connected to fraud.
Okay. Why are seniors especially vulnerable to genetic testing scams? What do those tests promise to reveal? And why wouldn't anyone want to know if they're predisposed to cancer or other kinds of diseases?
I would say it's not the seniors, it's the program. And because the program serves seniors, then ultimately the seniors are impacted. So what I mean by that is Medicare and Medicaid, they are trust-based systems. And as such, fraudsters know this, and they try to exploit that. The fraudsters also, like I said earlier, will try to scare seniors into getting this genetic testing. Hey, you may get a heart attack. Hey, we can see if you have cancer. People don't want to be sick, so they're using that fear to get them to come in. And then, like I said before, they are also giving them meals. They're giving them gift cards in order to do this type of stuff.
If you did a cheek swab, and let's say I was at a health fair and I succumbed to these con artists, I donate my DNA, I guess you'd say. Don't I expect sort of a printed results back in the mail? Dear Mary Lou Cooper, you don't have any of these problems, or you may need to seek further help for cancer, whatever. So what happens to the consumer on the end? If you've taken this test, you must expect something back.
So you will get something, but again, this is not what Medicare or Medicaid is supposed to pay for. They're not supposed to pay for a curiosity test. They're supposed to pay for a treatment that helps a doctor make decisions to help patients through a process. So unfortunately, the fraudsters are utilizing people's fear of getting sick to do this curiosity test versus what it was supposed to be intended for, was a process to help somebody get proper treatment.
What kind of genetic test will Medicare actually pay for? They won't pay for everything.
Primarily where we see genetic testing is two, it's CGS.
What does that mean?
CGX. So CGX is a type of genetic testing that tests people to determine whether they have cancer or they're predisposed to a type of cancer. PGX tests for individuals' likelihood to experience adverse events or not responding to a specific drug. So those are the two types of fraud that we're seeing fraud schemes being used for, and that's what we see the billing spiking at right now.
So the problem here isn't the test itself, it's that it's coming from a con artist or culpable health provider rather than from your family doctor who has reason to believe that you have a history of some kind of cancer, or they're worried that you might be genetically predisposed to respond poorly to some sort of medication. Is that correct?
Exactly. One group of people, they're solely doing this for profit. They are solely doing this to make money. The true right way to do it is to help people, is to help doctors make good decisions on treatment for their patients.
What can consumers do to protect themselves from these genetic testing scams?
The number one is this doctor or this medical provider or this marketer that's calling you or contacting you or meeting with you is not your primary care physician. If you don't have an existing relationship, you should not be sharing any of your medical history with them. And then the other thing is to call our 1-800 HHS TIPS number if you feel that somebody is committing fraud.
Okay.
You can let the federal government know and we can help you. We can look into that situation.
Okay, so let me repeat that number again. If you feel like you're being asked to give a swab that might be fraudulent in some way, you should call 1-800-HHS-TIPS, 1-800-HHS-TIPS. Is there anything else you would like to let listeners know about this particular genetic testing scam?
The one thing I tell people is to covet your personal information. You shouldn't share your personal information, your personal identifiable information with anybody. Your Medicare or Medicaid numbers, your date of birth, your Social Security numbers, those are to be provided only to trusted people. And you definitely shouldn't provide it to somebody over the phone if you don't know who they are.
Thanks very much, Agent Reginald France with the Office of the Inspector General at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Resources. For KSFR, I'm Mary Lou Cooper.
Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't.